In Endgame, Samuel Beckett's play from 1957, four characters are trapped in a room, unable to leave, going through daily rituals over and over and over again. A new Pan Pan Theatre production is due to open at the Project Arts Centre in Dublin next week. It features Andrew Bennett as Ham, who is a blind man unable to walk or stand, Anthony Morris as his servant Clove, who's unable to sit, and Des Keogh and Rosaline Linehan as Ham's parents, Nag and Nell, who spend the entire play in two dustbins. Rosaline Linehan and Pan Pan director Gavin Quinn are with me now in studio. Were there rows about the nature of the dustbins and whose would be more starry than the others in this particular case?
Oh no, we never have rows. Des Keogh and myself never had a hard word between us. Just beat each other up.
In fact, that's how Nag is the husband in this scenario. Yeah, Nell is the wife. That's how it starts out, really, with a bang on the dustbin lid from him, isn't it?
Ah, yes, indeed. But actually, I have to say that because we were coming here and because the play is so dark and everything's grey, I was saying to the lads, I'm going to the hairdresser to get my hair done for the radio. And then I thought, I'll go the whole hog. So you'd like to describe maybe what I'm wearing? I really went to a bit of trouble.
You'd like me
because
to describe what you're wearing?
It's all black and grey, and I'm wearing, as you can see,
very bright
a colours. Strapless gold lamé dress with a train, split up to the thigh, and I'm wearing Jimmy shoes with a stiletto of four, a bit like the one who interviewed Prince Andrew the other night. Shoes, did you see her shoes? She could have garroted them, she did. But anyway, no, I'm just finishing off now, really. I just popped into Brand Thomas and got this little clutch bag because I saw it there, 2,500, but I knew the fee was good for this show, so I brought it. Okay, now back to Beckett, sorry.
Yeah, but I presume that's what you will be wearing in the bin as
in
well.
In the bin, they don't know, you see. Yeah, right. I better say, this is a joke, sorry, they'll believe me. Some people will believe me.
Now, there's no need for me to ask then, why did you cast Rosaline Linehan in the part of Nell in this show? But why did you choose Endgame and those two characters? To get Des Keogh and Rosaline Linehan in that matching pair in the bin was quite a coup.
Well,
Gavin.
Certainly I chose Endgame because it was the play that Beckett disliked the least. So I thought, if that's the reason to do it.
High praise from Mr. Beckett.
Exactly. And because I think it's just an amazing play, it's so distilled. It's so perfect, the text, the characters, the visualization, the setups. But I think I chose Des and Rosaline because the play requires it to be a kind of loving relationship, but also funny. And because they're such a good double act and have that history, that it's almost like seeing a piece of theatre history live on stage. But it also is just having to work with these two kind of legends in the part just makes the production special. And it has to be special.
Yeah, there is an incredible kind of communication between the two of them, Rosaline, and on a slightly serious level now. They have an ability, with very few words, it has to be said. Beckett is not generous when it comes to the lines.
No, absolutely not. And it is a perfect picture of an imperfect, which they all are, as you know and I know, imperfect marriage. Perfect imperfect marriage.
Yeah.
But it's heartbreaking, I think, just heartbreaking.
Yeah, because they're there in the two bins. And it actually starts with the language of love between the two of them, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. And the bins, of course, I mean, everything, is it a metaphor or a simile? I'm very ignorant. Everything is one of the, but it's really the two are shoved into the most dreadful nursing home that you can find.
And it's a metaphor for that in your mind.
That's really, they're dumped.
And given that you had done Winnie before in Happy Days, who, you know, in Act One of Happy Days is up to her waist.
Mm-hmm. I only do legless shows.
And in Act Two.
But I was in Swan Lake lately. Yes.
I might get to the end of it. In Act Two, she's up to her neck.
She is indeed.
Now, that kind of physical constraint that Beckett puts on you, how much of a release is that? Or how much of a constraint is it?
Well, as every actor knows, your whole life is a learning process. And if this is Endgame, is possibly my Endgame, I will end up after 60 years and I still don't know how to do it.
And you don't have any sense.
I haven't a clue.
But you don't have any sense of this being an Endgame for you, do you?
Well, no, but I mean, I wouldn't be just... everybody's dropping like flies, you know?
Yeah, and obviously it was this night last week we were mourning the death of Neil Tobin. I was surprised to hear that you hadn't worked with him because, I mean, you very much were kind of in on the scene at precisely the same time.
Huge regret of my life, I suppose, that I never did work with him. I always felt somebody should have put us together at some stage.
Mm. Mm. And his talents, what do you think they were?
Everything. He could sing as well, because remember he could sing the Brendan Behan, and of course I played his mammy.
Yeah.
Kathleen Behan.
In a separate show.
They never really met, but that's parental, like our play, parental isolation.
Hmm. Mm. And the type of comedy that you have to do in Beckett, and when you look at those lines that are given to you by Beckett to say, how similar is it to, you know, vaudeville, to stand up, to that type of, you're pointing it in the direction of Gavin Quinn here.
Yeah, well, I think Beckett is able to have these incredible moments of despair and dead endness, and then suddenly he the next beat, it's a laugh, it's a joke. So he obviously knew how to keep people entertained, involved, but also was saying, isn't life ridiculous? Isn't life ludicrous? But he has this very simple way of writing humor, very simple lines that obviously came from, you know, his love of Buster Keaton, his love of vaudeville. And he writes these just wonderful little things that are just simply a half beat here, and is able to sort of write across the piece. It changes tone immediately on one beat. So it has that, you need a skill of a comedian to pull that off.
Yeah. And I have this whole central line, actually. Nothing is funnier than unhappiness.
That's basically, that for you is the play.
It is, really.
Yeah, but that, it's something that Beckett manages to do, is that ability to, you know, have us laugh at the desperate.
Yes, but I mean, that's Irish as well. And that's what why we're so proud of him, because he wasn't around in Ireland all that much, but he was so Irish. And Happy Days kept on jumping up with Irish things. And I was saying, very few Irish writers of any stature that don't have huge comedy in them. For example, the English ones would. I mean, I think Pinter wasn't a load of comic. But all our great writers are full of comedy. They shift around like mad, you know.
Mm. And that's the relationship between Nag and Nell, between yourself and Des Keogh in The Two Bins. How much does the years of working together, of probably knowing each other's breaths and beats and who's feeding and who's getting the punchline?
Well, we try not to do that, don't we, Dutton? Mm.
No, yeah. We try not to do that.
That's too easy.
I mean, you try to do the lines, you know. I mean, do it Beckett intended. Try to hit the right note. But they can't help it. They naturally have that funny bones, and they also have the natural psychology. You only have to look at Des and Rosaline, and they're able just to have this expression which seems right for the piece.
So, but you're fighting against falling into some cliched role, is it?
Well, in Happy Days, what he has done, and I think he's done it here as well, he made himself actor-proof. In other words, everything is so closely tuned that you can't go really, you shouldn't, the minute you go outside that, you feel, a bit smelly.
You know what I mean? It's like a score. Yeah. So it's like score. An opera without the music. And I think if you play the beats and if you follow the conducting, it seems to work.
But I have to say, it's very, very like, except, you know, he's in a different level and everything, but Enda Walsh, that I've worked with as well. There are two ways of playing Enda Walsh. There's two ways of playing Beckett. We could play the scene as if it was in Fair City. You actually could play the scene through exactly the same.
It has that type of realism within it.
Yeah, but at the same time, what's demanded is slightly different. More than slightly different. Mm.
But I'm wondering, are there similarities, you know, when you talk about the beats, when you talk about that type of thing? I was talking about Ryan when we were talking about Neil Tobin. I was talking about him teaching me the timing of a line in a show. I mean, the timing of a line when you're...
Show me the director who dares say that to me. Sorry, the northern side of me comes out.
And the timing of the delivery on that, absolutely perfect as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the timing that you have learned from your years, you know, in the review part of your life, because there's a very serious acting side to your life as well. Let's not pretend that that's not there. But the timing that you learned on the review side of your life, does it feed into, rather than you, that yourself and Des Keogh were kind of slipping back into Des and Rosie, you know, whatever it was in the various reviews, does the timing really help you when it comes to delivering Beckett?
Well, there's a very funny line which I've forgotten about timing, which is sort of is timing is something you're born with, and you have it from the word go. It's something, it's like music. Mm. As Gavin said, this piece is like music.
The beats. One of the things that you're doing, Gavin, I saw, and I know it's a rehearsal script, so things will change as you're going on. But within all of that, you have notes and footnotes, almost like an academic text from various productions that have happened of Endgame from the very beginning.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
What was your idea in that, and what did you want to gain from doing
well,
that?
Well, since we're doing Endgame, we thought we'd investigate the text. There were different versions. When Beckett himself directed it, he did make revisions to his own text, which is interesting. As a director, he changed it. Sometimes he changed the text according to the cast, and sometimes he said, oh, there's too many words, like any director would do. Mm. And so we managed to track down all the different versions, and there is now a publication of Beckett's notebooks from when he directed Endgame in Germany. So you can follow and you can see there are different words, different changes, different beats, even different parts that can be cut out of the script. So it was to make the actors aware and for us to study it and go, let's overturn every stone. Let's look and see if we can make a version of the text which we feel works now and is appropriate for us.
So were there aspects there for either of you where you came across lines, or even in your case, maybe a line you said, oh, look, there's a slightly different version of that that I think plays better, that I think has more either tragic or comic potential?
No. But for example, just to go back, because my poor husband, as you know,
Fergus Lennon,
all my material pretty well. And he used to, I'd cut. He said, you'd chop the Hail Mary, amen. Just that's rubbish in the middle. Just get on with it. Or maybe Full of Grace, leave Full of Grace in and cut the rest. But there's it's just that Happy Days had one sequence where there's something funny happening in the woodshed and a relationship with a young girl. And I saw the original one in the notebooks, and it was quite boring. It was about half a page, and by the time it was finished, it was chop, click, 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 right back. It was only about four or five lines.
And it needed
so
that.
Unfortunately, a lot of writers, mentioning no names, they're all wonderful people, they won't have anything. They won't have a comma touched. This is ridiculous. I mean, this is where you see a lot of plays that just say, oh, that needed an edit. He could edit his own.
So Beckett wouldn't want a comma touched or moved, but because he's already done all of that work before it gets to the rehearsal room.
And because he could do it was his relationship with music. And he knew his music. For example, Joyce apparently had no musical ear at all, but he could sing. But no, it wasn't. It was Yeats had no music ear at all. But, I mean, he wrote all that wonderful poetry.
Yeah.
But both Beckett and Joyce had terrific ears.
Yeah, so they could...
Musical ears.
They could write in a
how
music...
How dare I say that about Joyce? She wasn't a great singer.
Well, I was thinking, the simple musicality of the language that he puts into all the work, it's all over it. Are you having fun in the rehearsals?
Well, you daren't say that. From my experience of my long life, the minute the rehearsals are funny, the show is dead. Yeah.
So if you're laughing in rehearsals...
We're just working terribly hard, aren't we?
We're just working terribly hard.
Yeah.
All right, so when do you get into the theatre? When does all of that start?
Well, we get in next week, and then we're previewing on the 29th of November, which is a Friday, and then we open on the Saturday. So, and then we run until December the 7th. But it's nine performances, but it's good to do it in a project upstairs in a relatively small venue. Mm. So it'll be very intimate for the audience, and you'll really feel the text, and you'll see Des and Rosaline up close.
Oh, God. With no makeup and a terrible hat.
Oh, yeah, there is a
this
hat.
This is definitely
involved,
Endgame. But I'll have to bring the gold lamé dress.
Yeah, it is looking very well. It's getting better as the interview goes on, I must say, that dress. Does it get any easier, though, Rosaline? You know, you do have a long and very distinguished career. But does it get easier at this point, or do the nerves still, as you go into that final week, are they still cranking away?
Nothing is easy. No.
No, nothing.
That's
the experience counts for nothing.
That's the good part of it. At this time of year, at my advanced age, I'd be in bed probably still now reading a book. At least gets me out, gets me onto the bus.
Rosalie keeps on losing her text in her bed.
that's the basis for a Beckett play, surely.
It is. Oh, I've done a lot of beds. I've done Mary Make Believe. I have done Cripple of Inish Man last Christmas or last January. As a matter of fact, there is a thing that says I don't do any full body anymore. I only do beds and wheelchairs.
Available for beds, wheelchairs, and dustbin acting.
And dustbin acting.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll bring your weighty experience of beds, wheelchairs and dustbins to the production that we're about to see.
As long as I don't have a bedpan nearby.
Rosalind Linehan and Gavin Quinn there speaking to me about Endgame at the Project Arts Centre, as Gavin told us. Previews on the Friday the 29th, opens on Saturday the 30th, runs through until the 7th of December, and you can find out full details
Only nine performances.
Full details on Project
roll
Arts
up,
Centre.
Roll up.
.ie. Now, can I get a bit of music playing? Yes, I can.